Hello, my name's Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of short videos around a new framework that's coming as part of Silverlight 4 and also as part of .NET 4, the full .NET framework, that's called the Managed Extensibility Framework, or MEF for short. So it's coming in both Silverlight and .NET 4. I'm going to look at it here in the realms of Silverlight applications. And in a nutshell, what this framework is about is enabling you to sort of compose a Silverlight application out of a number of very loosely coupled pieces that can use different mechanisms for discovering each other at runtime in order to come together and form an application. If that sounds a little bit abstract, then perhaps to make it more concrete, think of plug-in architectures. Think of something like Visual Studio, which has the capability to plug in lots of different designers and build engines and those kinds of things. Or think of something like Outlook, where you can write add-ins yourself using .NET for Outlook and plug them into the core application. And MEF enables those kinds of scenarios if you want to think of it in a more concrete way. Now, just to provide a few pointers before we get started, if you want to follow along and you want to know how to get started with Silverlight 4 and MEF, then the first thing you need to do is download Visual Studio 2010. The Beta 2 is the build I'm using here. You can get that from msdnmicrosoft.com/vstudio. That's all you need. You don't need the other bits in order to find the download for Beta 2. That will get you Visual Studio 2010. You would then also want the pieces for Silverlight 4 development in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. Best place to go to get those is to pop over to silverlight.net, pop over to Get Started over here, and then down on the right-hand side, you will find a link to go and get everything for the Silverlight 4 Beta. And MEF is part of that Silverlight 4 Beta. So follow the instructions there. You'll get the tools and the SDK in order to install the Silverlight 4 development environment bits into Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. It's worth saying as well that MEF, there's also a version of it on CodePlex for .NET 3.5 and Silverlight 3. So if you pop over to mef.codeplex.com, you can find the previews of MEF on there to play with against .NET 3.5. That's the existing .NET framework, and Silverlight 3, that's the existing released version of Silverlight. Finally, if you're trying to find more of these videos, if you pop over to Channel 9, this is where I'll put the videos. If you go to channel9.msdn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and you'll find these videos here as and when they're published. And if you're trying to find me in any way, you can pop over to my website, which is just at mtalty.com, and then you'll find my blog. And finally, if you want to get hold of me via email, you can just mail me at mike.talty@microsoft.com. Okay, so with all that introductory stuff said, let's get started and take a bit of a look at Managed Extensibility Framework. Welcome to video number 5. It goes without saying that if you haven't seen the previous videos, then those really flow into this one, so it's worth watching the previous videos where we talked about general introduction, imports and exports. We talked in video number 3 about catalogs, specifically the assembly, the type, and the aggregate. And we'll use some of those here, so it's worth knowing about those things. In video 4, we talked about recomposition, and we'll do some of that here, so it's worth knowing about that as well. And what I want to talk about here is another catalog. So there's another catalog that you've got to work with. This one is not in the core Silverlight 4 framework as it stands in the beta. It's in the Silverlight toolkit. So it's in the Silverlight toolkit, which is in preview for Silverlight 4, which is itself in beta. So essentially, this functionality is really useful. The catalog is called the package catalog. And what it does is allows you to asynchronously download additional packages into the application with quite a lot of ease, really. So what we'll do here is we'll move our example across to take a look at that and see how that works. I think that'll really open up, perhaps, some of the possibilities that you've got with MEF. If you thought that some of the things I was doing with the assembly and type catalog were a bit fixed and that you would have to build some kind of configuration system and do some async downloading yourself, then take a look at this catalog because I think it'll do a lot of what you might want. So let's close down Notepad and let's switch over to Visual Studio. Okay, so let's just take a tour around in Visual Studio. We have changed things ever so slightly, but not a lot. So let's just have a look at this as it follows on from where we were in the previous example. We've still got the same core libraries that we had before, but we've changed the UI slightly. Let's just take a look at our XAML file. And essentially what I've done is we currently just have a grid with three rows, two of which are currently blank, and one row has a text block where the text is data bound to the property wordprocessor.textengine.name. So we're just putting the name of the current word processor's text engine onto the screen so that we can see it. We use the Silverlight 3 feature string format to put that on there with a particular string. Oops, we nearly moved that string. With a particular string. Let me see if I can highlight that. There we go. And we also have a fallback value in case somebody hasn't set that, which just says not set. And I think at the moment it currently would say not set. So that's pretty simple. That's all we've got in our UI. In the code behind that UI, let's just jump to that. This should be fairly familiar. We have our main page. Now I've added to an implementation of iNotify property change to it, so it now does property change notification, and it also sets its data context, so when the page is loaded we set the data context to be the current object in order to pick up this word processor property which you just saw was data bound on the screen. We're still using MEF, so we call part initializer satisfy imports here. We're doing nothing fancy with catalogs or containers at the moment, we're just relying on the default behavior. And we import through MEF a word processor, which is an I word processor. We saw that in the previous video. We allow there to not be one, and we allow this to be recomposed, which we saw again in the previous video. The only change around this property is that I have now backed it with a field, and we fire property change notification as and when that thing changes. And there's my implementation to fire property change notification, and there's my field. Okay, great. In terms of the rest of the stuff, I don't think we've changed too much. If we go and have a look at our concrete implementations of word processor, on the word processor I've also gone and implemented iNotify property changed. So that now has a property changed event. It still imports a text engine as an iTextEngine. It allows defaults, it allows recomposition, and it now has a field behind this property. And it fires property change notifications when that changes, and there's the property change notification, and there's the field. The text engine I don't think has changed at all, so the text engine is just a text engine of type iTextEngine that exports itself as an iTextEngine. Okay, so everything seems kind of okay, and I think with the way things stand at the moment, because our MEF sample here references the word processor in the text engine library, then we would expect that when we run this, those will be inside the ZAP, and so the default behavior of part initializer, where is it? Satisfy imports, will be to cause the creation of a composition container, it will cause the creation of an aggregate catalog, it will put all the assemblies into assembly catalogs it finds in the ZAP, and so consequently all of our exported types should be brought into play. And so when we press F5, if we didn't have build errors, what have we done to it? Excuse me, got a bit of ahead of ourselves with the namespace there. Let's close all the windows down and press F5. We'd expect to have the default text engine is plugged in right now. So you can see there's the default text engine being plugged in. And so that's all working quite nicely. And if we just make sure that that's the name of the text engine by default, there it is. That's the default text engine that's being plugged in. Okay, so with everything working, let's break it. Let's go to our MEF sample here. And I'm going to take away the reference to the text engine library. Let's delete that. And the word processor library. Now, we have no static dependency on those things, apart from a couple of namespaces that we've got from previous examples. Let's get rid of those namespaces. Let's just close down that code. So we should be able to compile that up fine, and we can. But because that means that those two assemblies will no longer be in our ZAP, then they will no longer be discoverable in any way by MEF, and so consequently when we run the code now, we shouldn't get a text engine. As you can see, it's not set. But what I want to do now is package these two assemblies, the text engine library and the word processor library, into separate ZAPs that we will then download dynamically from our site of origin in this particular case. So let's go about doing that. So all I'm going to do here is add a couple more projects. So let's just go ahead and add into the solution a new project. We'll make a Silverlight application. Let's call this Word Processor Package, something like that. Let's just call it that. That's fine. So we'll throw that in. I do want this hosted in the sense of I want it copied to the site of origin when it's built, but I don't need this other stuff down here, so we'll just untick that. And let's let this spin up. Okay, so I don't actually need this app.xaml and the mainpage.xaml. I'm only introducing this package here in order that it can reference my word processor library. So let's just add a reference to the word processor library. And then it will build that into a Zap. So when we build this up on our website up here, what we should see is a client bin with an extra Zap in it called wordprocessorpackage.zap, and that will have my word processor library in it. Let's do the same trick for the text engine then. So let's just go to our solution. Let's add a new project, Silverlight application. We'll call this a text engine package, I guess. Go and add that in. I do want it copied to the website, but I don't want it doing this stuff here. Let's just go ahead and click OK. And once again, I don't need this app XAML and main page, so let's get rid of those. And let's add a reference to the text engine library, and let's build that. And, oh, sorry, that's the wrong button. Let's build that. And let's make sure we get a text engine package.zap. So we've now got a couple of extra zap files back on our site of origin. Okay, so now what we want to do is work towards functionality where we can get the types contained in these two additional zaps brought into MEF and composed for us like we were doing before we moved them into separate zaps. And we'll use this new package catalog and the package class from the Silverlight toolkit to do that. But before we get there, let's go and build a little bit of UI. So let me just collapse these guys down. Let's go back over to our main UI. And at the moment, we've just got this grid with a text block in it. Let's add a couple of buttons on here as well. So we'll go ahead and say we'll have a button. We'll say margin equals something, font size equals big. We'll say content equals download text engine package. And we'll say grid.row equals 1 and click equals on download text engine package. Gosh, that's quite long. All right, so we've got that button in there, hopefully. And let's copy that and have another one in grid row 2, which is going to be download word processor package. And we'll change that word there to be word processor. Okay, so we've got these extra two buttons that do something for us. We can't fit quite word processor package on the screen, but it doesn't really matter. And let's go. And I suppose we just shrink the font size on those two things, make it a bit smaller. Let's go and look at the code behind this. So let's just go to the code behind it and implement those two event handlers. So we'll just trundle down here and we'll add event handler on download text engine package. And we'll add another one on download word processor package. Okay, so we don't yet know how to do that, but we've got functionality to try and do it as and when it comes around. And this ability to download these packages is not something I want to build into my main page class here. It's something I want to put somewhere else. So let's do that. Let's abstract it via an interface. And let's put it somewhere else. So let's just go back to our solution and add into this a new class, which we'll call something like package download service. And we'll write an interface, let's say public interface iPackage download service. And we'll just have void download package async. And we'll not make this particularly fancy. We'll just say URI, package URI. There should probably be some kind of event that's also fired when this is actually downloaded. We're going to skip that for our purposes here. But what we want to have is this package download service implement that interface. So that's iPackage download service. We implement that. At the moment, we don't have an implementation. We'll have one shortly. Let's just put a breakpoint on there. And we want to make this available to our main page. So let's do that with MEF. And let's just say that this is an export of type let's just fix that namespace. Type of iPackage download service. So we're going to export this as one of those things. Okay, and let's go back to our main page, and onto this let's add a property, which will be an import. We won't allow default on this, we need one of these, so let's say public iPackage download service, and let's just say download service get and set. Okay, So now we've got a download service. And so consequently, when it comes time to do this functionality here, we will say download service dot download package async with a new URI, and I think the package is called text engine package dot zap, and it is a relative URL. And for the word processor one, we do the same thing, which is going to be word processor package. .zap. Let me just check the names of those packages whilst we're here. Yeah, that looks okay. Alright, so we've now built this service that is divorced from our main page, our code behind. It doesn't know what this service does, and it doesn't even know where this service comes from, but it knows it comes from somewhere, and it knows it needs one. So let's go and take control of our container a little bit to make sure that one of these services is present in our container. So let's go over to our app.xaml over here. And into app.xaml, at the point where the application starts up, let's add a new call. I'm going to put the control of the container into this app class this time around. Let's say initialize container. And let's just write that function, initialize container. And so we know from previous videos this involves creating a composition container. We'll call it container. Create a new one of those. And then saying composition host dot initialize container with the container. And that sets up the default or the implicit container for the application, and specifically the one that part initializer satisfy imports will use. Now at the moment it's empty, and what we're going to do in a minute is add a catalog to it, and particularly a package catalog that's going to help us with this downloading of these extra zaps. But what I want in the first instance is I want one of my package download services to be present in that container. Now what I could do to get that in there is use something like an assembly catalog or a type catalog, but as we'll see in a moment, what I actually want is a specific instance of this to be in there. We'll come back and see why in a second, but I actually want a specific instance of this in there. I don't want to put it in there by type. I want to add a particular instance. And so in order to do that, there's a call that we can make which we haven't seen, I don't think, so far, which is a call to the container. There's a number of different ways of doing this, but there's an extension method we can use, and to get it we need to bring in the right namespace. So let's just scroll to the top and add in using system.componentModel.composition. So let's just bring that in at the top of the file there, and that will get us an extension method called composeParts, i.e. compose these composable parts for me. And the composable part that I want is going to be a package download service. So let's create one of those. Let's say package download service equals, let's make one, and then let's add it in here. So going ahead and putting that into the container. And with that in place, let's press F5. We'll just put some more breakpoints in here at the point where we click these buttons. Let's press F5. I suppose maybe we step through that code as well in the initialized container, so just make sure that's running. Let's press F5. And here we are creating our container. Here we are creating our package download service, composing that into the container, and then setting that as the default container. The UI appears on the screen. When we click one of our buttons, we get our callback, and we are trying to use the download service. Now notice that the download service is there and populated by Meph. So Meph's done that work for us. But of course when we wander into that call, it doesn't actually do anything at this point. But there's a nice thing in there about how we got this functionality into this main page class simply by importing it, and the application providing an implementation. And the main page didn't have to know anything about that, which is quite neat. But let's move towards actually doing the work. So what we need to do in order to do the work, I'll close down a few windows for a second, is we need to bring in the references to the assembly that contains the package catalog and its friend, the package. So let's go out to our solution and let's go to our main sample, our main application. And we'll add another reference to this. Let's add a reference. Now I'm in the Silverlight Toolkit folder here. We're in C Program Files, Microsoft SDK, Silverlight version 4, Toolkit, November 09 bin. And in there is this assembly called system.componentModel.composition.packaging.toolkit. And that contains two classes that we care about here, package and package catalog. So let's bring that in. Okay. So with that in play, what I want to do is go to my package download service and give it a new constructor. And this new constructor will take a package catalog. We'll call that catalog. And we'll go and just fix the namespace for that, because we just brought in that assembly from the toolkit. And then we'll define a member package catalog. We'll just set that up. So we'll say this.catalog equals catalog. Okay, so now at the point where we do download package async, we can actually do some work. We can use the package class. So notice there's the package and the package catalog. And it has a member on it called systatic member download package async. And we give it a URI to the package. So for us, that's the package URI. And then it has this callback. Now actually, there's a big lump of IntelliSense on the screen, which talks about some of the limitations on this API right now. So it's worth reading that as and when you actually get into using these things, because there's some things it can't do. But we'll not spend a lot of time talking about that right now. It gives you a callback here, which basically passes you an async completed event args and then a package. So we'll just do that in an inline lambda here. Okay. And so what we should do is we should check to see if it works. So we can say if not, args.cancelled and args.error equals null. Now notice what I'm about to do. If there is an error, it simply will disappear at this point. I'm not doing anything on my package download service to propagate these errors. I'm just assuming that everything in software always works, and you know there will be no problems whatsoever here, which is, I'm sure you know, is just the smartest idea in the world. We should really have some error handling on my class here. The download has it, but I don't. So if everything works, then what we'll do is we'll say catalog.addPackage with the package that has just been downloaded. Okay, so now my download service is there. As long as somebody can give it a package catalog, my download service knows how to use package class and add the package downloaded into the catalog. So that's pretty easy. However, we just added this new constructor, which means that the other code we wrote wouldn't compile anymore. Let's close this file off. And let's pop back to the app.xaml.c#. Because in here, we create a package download service. It needs a package catalog. So let's create one of those. Let's say package catalog. Just bring in that namespace. Equals a new one of those. Let's pass that catalog into the download service here. And then we'd create the container probably after that. Oops, I've just pressed page down by mistake. Sorry about that. So we then create our composition container and we ask it to compose the download service, but we also want the composition container to be based around the package catalog. Let's put that onto one line there. So if you notice, what we're saying is we're saying that we've got this package catalog where packages are going to be added over time. We've got this package download service which knows how to do that downloading and it takes the catalog. The composition container is primarily based around the package catalog. That's what it's serving up. Those are the types it's composing for us. But we just want it to compose one more thing which happens not to be in that catalog, which is this download service that we've got here. So we want that in there as well because our main page depends upon it. And then we set this up as the default container. Okay, so let's rebuild. And I always like to start off with breakpoints. So let's go back to our package download service. And let's see if these downloads seem to be happening. So we'll put a breakpoint there at the point where we're trying to download things. So let's press F5. We've probably got more breakpoints in here than we need. So at the moment, we've not got any text engine or any word processor. Let's download the text engine package. So we're getting our callback there. I'll just kill these breakpoints because they're a bit of overkill right now. That happens asynchronously, it wasn't cancelled and it worked. So we then add that package into the package catalog. This will cause a MEF recomposition. So at this point we're going to recompose and press F5. But all we did there was compose in a text engine implementation. Now our main page needs a word processor and the word processor needs a text engine. So now we should have a text engine, but we don't yet have a word processor that Meph can compose for us. So let's go download the word processor package. Let's see if that worked. It wasn't cancelled, and I can't get it. It seemed to work. So we add that package into the catalog, which will cause a recomposition. Press F5. And you can see that what we just did was plug in a default text engine on a word processor. So we just got those two packages downloaded asynchronously. They came into Meph. Meph recomposed things and realized that it had enough component parts to put together a word processor with a text engine. And we just downloaded those things asynchronously from the network. So I hope you get an idea as to how this works. We put in a little bit of extra work here around abstracting our main page from the details of how to deal with that catalog. I could have written this code by just putting a package catalog in main page and then populating it. But we chose not to do that. We chose to abstract it a little bit using Meph with this idea of this little download service. And then my main page only knows about how to call that download service. It doesn't know anything else. And then our download service went off and used the package and the package catalog class to do its work. And finally, we tinkered just slightly with our default container, our composition container. We added a package catalog to it, which grew over time, as you saw. And we went ahead and added my own little package download service that we just saw a second ago. And notice, of course, because we know about recomposition, this works the other way as well. So if we download the word processor first, then we've got a word processor, but we don't have a text engine. And if we download the text engine now, let's just go and set a breakpoint so you can see this. The code where it downloads this, let's go here, put a breakpoint. So if we click this button, we should have already composed the word processor. So if we take a look at word processor, you can see it's already there, but it doesn't yet have a text engine. We're just about to go and asynchronously download that package, so if you press F5, you can see that the text engine has now been plugged in. So it works both ways around, but that's really just a feature of composition as opposed to anything else, or recomposition perhaps we should call it. Okay, so I hope you get the idea of this additional catalog. And one of the things about this is it shows you how powerful some of this stuff is, because this isn't in the core framework right now. This is just another derivation of a catalog. And yet you see the sort of functionality that it can enable really easily without you going to town and having to build your own. But of course you can also build your own and take it even further if you want to do that. So hopefully you get a flavor as to what this stuff does for you in terms of the package catalog and the package class.